This episode of EduTech Guys was recorded live at ISTE 2023 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thanks for listening. This episode of EduTech Guys is brought to you by Class In. It brings your classroom to life wherever you are in the world. Solutions for every learning need. K-12, igniting learning passion for all grades and subjects. Tutoring, leveling up your tutoring business with an all-in-one platform. Also, higher ed, explore and collaborate without boundaries and independent teachers. Develop your learning brand for long-term success. A class is not a meeting, and we know it. Engage, collaborate, and interact on your near-limitless Blackboard. Save, share, and review Blackboard writing anytime after a class ends. And bring the spirit of offline classes online. Reward participation effectively. See everyone's face clearly. Shine a spotlight on individual students. Don't waste a second. Get more information at classin.com.
Hey, welcome back to ISTE 2023. It's live. Here we are in Philly with the EduTech Guys. We have our next guest in the seat. We're going to let him introduce himself, tell us who he is and what he does, and all that kind of good stuff. So here we go.
Ted and Jeff and David, pleasure being here. My name is Ted. I head over strategy and investment at Class In. We're a DRAM unicorn, very well known in Asian spheres, specializing in building classrooms. Mm-hmm. And we build it both in the virtual sense by the application of the software to have virtual classroom elements. Instant messaging all-in-one products, as well as building it in the real world to transform traditional learning environments into something that we call hybrid learning space to really connect and digitize whatever that goes on inside the classroom.
So let's talk about your success in the current market that you're moving from into this market.
Yeah.
How's that been?
Globalization has been on the company's radar for several years, and we've been trying very actively for the first stop in Southeast Asia, and right now, we have hundreds of clients in Vietnam on tutoring and Philippines in private schooling. With each market, what we've seen is that the difference, the discrepancy can be quite varied. It's a huge gap on what the country and the consumers need from hybrid learning. Mm-hmm. With the U.S. specifically, we've identified several gaps that we can fill as a hybrid learning provider. Number one is really just to address the teacher shortage that's basically a crisis ongoing in this nation, 300,000 vacancies to be filled, as well as two-year retention rate at maybe about 40%. These numbers are, and I've traveled to this year alone, 8 different countries. These numbers are abysmal by any standards, and it's important to really think about how, as a technology provider, we can partner with virtual schooling providers and teacher staffing providers like Swing, LBK 12, et cetera, to have a content plus tools solution so that students in remote areas that doesn't have curriculum access just literally don't have a teacher to fill into their calendar will be able to access these resources.
Yeah, so you mentioned teacher retention.
Yeah.
So based on what you're saying, how would you fit with teacher retention, especially where you're talking about these shortages? So how does that work where it's not counterproductive,
right? Yeah.
You're not putting teachers out of business, you're helping them stay.
Exactly.
How does that work?
I think there are two pieces to teacher retention. The number one is how they feel on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
And we see concrete results and from like polls from firms like Better Lesson, that if teachers feel they're supported and coached properly in especially instructional matters, they would have a better retention results in the several years down the line. And the other segment of that is really just how do you get jobs to teachers that are maybe expanding on their working hours or giving them more flexibility in their occupation. I think a lot of teachers really enjoyed that piece of the work during the pandemic years, even though the tech part is really overwhelming, but they do enjoy the flexibility of just being able to teach anywhere. At the moment, for these two parts, let's talk about the I guess just day-to-day and the PD segment first. We work with top PD providers such as Eastern Normal in China. Is the biggest, it's basically the Columbia Teachers College equivalent of China.
Wow.
We'll work with them to provide PD year-long and in seasonal cohorts, and these can be really robust asynchronous plus synchronous programs that last for weeks at a time, the synchronous part, because they use our virtual classroom, is highly engaging. It's literally for them like participating in a variety show, and it's about teaching them PBL in a PBL manner, right? So like they need to be able to instruct as they're being instructed, so that's kind of the theory behind the building of Classen, is that we want constructivist approaches being reflected in the design of the product, as opposed to your conferencing solutions, which are built for having meetings, really. That's the big part for PD. Like, we work with the best teacher trainers to provide these programs so that we know how to enable them effectively. And the second part is giving teacher flexibility. Currently, a Classen with no marketing whatsoever for the past several years has already served tens of thousands of U.S. and Canada-based teachers. And these teachers, they are typically affiliated with a ESL tutoring company. There are sometimes teachers in schools that does one-on-one coaching for students, or curriculum consultants that helps plan out the test prep and the admission piece of the puzzle. And they come to us just by themselves or word of mouth, because we don't really sell to them. We are 2B, 99% of our revenue are 2B. And it's only within the past year we have started to promote like professional packages for individual teachers. And we call them and they're like, oh, this is much needed, because I'm really depending on you and the learning hours that are provided to me outside of the 3 hours that you've given me. So we know that there's a source of income in this for a lot of teachers that really would just like another piece of the pie, and we give them the ability to basically engage with the entire world of students as opposed to their vicinity.
Multiple incentives.
Exactly. I think hybrid learning has a huge place in where U.S. education is going towards.
Mm-hmm.
We see this across school ages as well. In K-12, we know teachers are already using hundreds of teaching tools across the school year. I think Learn Platform says 143 every month. Mm-hmm. And the first time I read that, I was just absolutely bombarded by this insanity. Like, how do people even cope with that? I think the beauty of what we provide is really just a place where 80% of what these tools can be done. You can do this in one instructional interface without switching between 10 different Chrome tabs, and have logins distributed across different products. And also for the students, it's also about being student-centric with how they manage their learning journey and data. Because we charge by, when we sell to institutions, we charge by per teacher per year as opposed to per student per year. And what that allows is for students to really enroll in multiple institutions and be in different classrooms, all on one app. So literally, especially in our primary market, China, Asia, we're seeing students starting to use this one account for their primary school and their middle school and going to their college, and they don't really need to switch anything. They just be there and they get enrolled into different classes. And for higher ed, I think if you look at EDUCOS reports for the past 3 years, the number one trend is always hybrid learning. And it's always hybrid learning, and we know this is here to stay. And if you look at attitudinal polling for UK, US, and multiple developed geographies, we know that hybrid learning is the most preferred way for students to enroll in college programs at this day and age. It's already there, and there's no going back from that. It's already going from 45% to 55%, and maybe in the future, the vast majority, right? And they prefer this to entirely in-person learning as well. So from academic perspective, you know, these institutions that put these reports out to student perspective, the attitudinal reports that we've seen, we know across school ages, hybrid learning is the future of education. There's no denying that. And there's so much we can do to really help transform how teachers and school leaders think about this big topic, because right now, most are still hinging on this aspect of, oh, I'm just doing emergency remote teaching, like I'm like piecing whatever I can find, and this is my solution. And they trial and error multiple times over the past several years, and they got frustrated, and they were like, okay, so let's maybe just revert. And a lot of teachers get burned out. But what we have proposed is really just don't try anymore. We figured this out for you. We work with 80,000 institutions around the world across different school ages, like tutoring, private schools, international schools, and public schools, tens of thousands of them, to really hone in on the idea of how to make the hardware and the software interoperate, how to have data silos eliminated. So let's just do that for you.
Well, and that's what most teachers want. Just tell us what to do. Lay it out for us.
Yeah.
So here in the U.S., hybrid is it.
Yeah.
You know, the pandemic hit, and what we learned pretty quickly is we thought we were an ed tech country. We were not an ed tech. It was just a supplemental. And we had these big conferences. But what's interesting about it now is that what you're talking about. So I just have a question for the teachers that are listening, because, you know, there's a lot of information here. So classing comes in. We have the in-person class. And then that same teacher is also teaching the virtual class. So is that the way it is everywhere else, or is that kind of becoming a commonplace, you know, for us? Because that's the only way our students come. You know, the students in this country are used to seeing the same face every time, even if it's a virtual face. So is that kind of what happens? Is that, you know, I'm teaching social studies history, and I teach it in place, and then virtually I teach the same class. And so it's the same students in the same class, or could they float? Could it work? I can't make the virtual class at this time, but I can make this virtual class at this time, because it's not real time. It is on your own time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are multiple options. I mean, we've seen all kinds of modalities in how you construct hybrid programs. Obviously, the preferred way is really to have in-person remote students at the same time in the same class, and while allowing the teacher to engage with them effectively and equally. Right. So right now, the big problem with this construct is just the teachers only care about in person and have very little attention for remote students, and that really diminishes their in-class experience, and that's why the remote students don't like being in classrooms like these. So what we have offered is really just a way to blur that boundary and to make sure that everybody's seeing the same instructional interface, whatever the teacher is writing on top of the class in Blackboard. Both in person and remote students will be able to see effectively whether you have a device or not as an in-person student. So you can just look at our 110-inch smart board, and you see everything clearly inside the classroom, whereas the students joining in remotely will be able to see that literally happening in real time and do all the activities, participate in quizzes, breakout rooms, as if they're there. So it's about eliminating that boundary for this hybrid live or synchronous instruction. But there are also blended programs that we've observed that are highly effective using our program, and this is especially prescient for countries that have really quite limited educational access and resources, like Philippines, for example. We serve about 100 schools before we even know this market exists for us. They just come and they call us and they want to use us, because in that country, students pay tuition by the month. They cannot afford, and it's a huge access problem. And now when they move to hybrid programs, the schools cut administration costs, they cut rental costs, so they can offer educational access at much lower a price for the students while expanding their enrollment numbers at the same time. So it really economically makes sense for them. They're actually increasing their revenue even though they're charging less per student. And the students will be able to afford these courses more as they enroll in online programs. And these programs are usually constructed in a mix of async and synchronous. So they do attend regular school hour courses, but a lot of resources are just laid out in our LMS. This is what you need to preview before the courses. These are the assignments and quizzes, and the teachers can, in this LMS, also at the same time see the results of these quizzes and assignments, and they'll be able to participate in discussion boards and also just curate student groups, study groups, because it's very student-centric. You can just initiate a student group and everybody joins in, and you can work on project-based resources or courses as you go. So either it's fully sync, hybrid, or async, mix of sync and async, blended, Classen is the solution for you, and they have their special place in different regions and countries where sort of different access to education is called for.
Cool. Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I like about what you're talking about is, at least as I'm envisioning this, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it, you know, in one particular, I'm just going to say building, so in one particular particular building. Mm. I could have a teacher who's doing the synchronous blending, and I could have a teacher who's doing the asynchronous, instruction as well.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be an all-in-one. It's completely customizable to what the needs are in those specific classrooms in those specific buildings.
Exactly. So I gave a speech at China Higher Ed Expo the other day in April, and the title literally is that hybrid learning is going to transform how campuses look. It's going to completely restructure how we think about building classrooms. They're not one size fits all, like 900 square feet rooms one by one next to each other anymore. And this has been, again, like when you say U.S. is an edtech country, I mean, like we have mounting evidence that U.S. is the most aggressive with attempting and experimenting with all sorts of blended design.
I was just going to say, almost to its detriment in education. I mean, really.
Because you really need these to be able to scale. I think that's at this point in time, we're only seeing really individual schools popping up. They're seeing we're doing this innovative thing, and they do it for 3 years, five, and then it somehow goes badly because of operational challenges. Not necessarily because of the tech part. Like, sometimes it's operational challenges, like the enrollment numbers, teachers being too out there with their pedagogy, and the parents are a little bit freaked out, several cohorts in. So, like, you know, there are mounting challenges to surmount when you do innovation. And I, for one, as someone that's devoted their entire career to edtech, I commend these efforts. But also at the same time, I wish to see programs that are actually sustainable in its running. I think in higher ed, we see Minerva doing a fairly good job. They keep expanding their enrollment numbers. I assume their funding has been fairly on track, and the students that graduate from there, I think, generally has great quality and are well regarded by their peers from even Ivy League schools. So I know that there are attempts being made that are actually sustainable at this point, and the technology has matured to a point where we can actually enable them and take away all the hassle on the tech front, and so that they can focus on the operation, the curriculum, the content.
Cool.
This episode of EduTech Guys is brought to you by Class In. It brings your classroom to life wherever you are in the world. Solutions for every learning need. K-12, igniting learning passion for all grades and subjects. Tutoring, leveling up your tutoring business with an all-in-one platform. Also, higher ed, explore and collaborate without boundaries and independent teachers. Develop your learning brand for long-term success. A class is not a meeting, and we know it. Engage, collaborate, and interact on your near-limitless Blackboard. Save, share, and review Blackboard writing anytime after a class ends. And bring the spirit of offline classes online. Reward participation effectively. See everyone's face clearly. Shine a spotlight on individual students. Don't waste a second. Get more information at classin.com.
This episode of EduTech Guys was recorded live at ISTE 2023 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thanks for listening.